Good evening. I'd like to welcome you all to the Mesa City Council meeting for Monday, March 23rd, 2009. I am Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's a privilege and honor for me to conduct this meeting. We'll begin with an invocation by Senior Pastor Dr. Terry Christ from the City of Grace Church, and then Scout Jacob O'Connell from Troop 288 will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please rise for the prayer and the pledge?
Good evening. Would you bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer? Gracious and faithful Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us. May we steward it for your glory and for the betterment of our community. Lord, in keeping with your instruction that we should pray for those who are elected officials, I pray for those who presently serve this community through city government. I lift up our mayor and our city council before you. I pray that you would bless and keep them. I pray that you would lead and guide them. I pray that you would meet their deepest needs spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and even financially. And I pray that you would bless and strengthen their families. Lord, I ask you to give them wisdom on how to govern us. Grant our leaders insight on how to navigate through these challenging times. Provide them with the solutions that would solve the issues that we face, and give them understanding into the most effective ways to move our city forward. I pray that your hand of protection would be upon our police officers, our firefighters, and our first responders. And finally, Lord, I pray for the citizens of this great city that you love. Bless the residents of Mesa, I pray. Help us to live in a way that honors life, embraces truth, advocates justice, and advances freedom. Lord, I pray for divine intervention during these challenging times. Empower those who are struggling to put food on the table. Bless the businesses that sustain our economy and bring new ones into our community. And then bless those that faithfully work in quiet and unseen ways to help the less fortunate, the stranger, the widow, and the orphan. Lord, I do not ask these things for our own benefit, but that we might have the resources to care for those who are among us who are in need and cannot provide for themselves. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you all please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you, Dr. Christ and Jacob. It's always great to have scouts in the audience to lead us in the pledge. We really appreciate that. Okay, the first item on our agenda this evening is take action on the consent agenda. Kevin Christopher will read in the consent agenda.
All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you are interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or a citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license for Boca 7, 66 South Dobson Road. Item 3B, act on liquor license for Cafe Mix, 4405 East McKellops Road. Item 3C, act on liquor license for Julio Cesar Chavez Campeones, 1300 South Country Club Drive. Item 3D, act on liquor license for Pasties Delicatessen and Eurogrill, 1935 South Val Vista Drive. Item 4A, act on contract to purchase infrared spectrometer and accessories, $30,380.90, funding from the State Criminal Justice Commission Forensic Lab Grant. Item 4B, act on term contract for paint and sundry supplies for warehouse inventory. Item 4C, act on renewal of contract for sign sheeting for Transportation Department. Item 4D, act on renewal of contract for tires for materials and supply and fire maintenance warehouse inventory. Item 4E, act to renew one-year contract for water treatment chemicals for warehouse inventory. Item 4F, act on contract to purchase one SUV for canine unit $49,562.75, fundings from Federal Homeland Security Grant. Item 4G, act on contract to purchase 5 transitional response vehicles for fire department. Item 4H, act on contract for gas mains and service lines, fundings available from the approved fiscal year 08-09 and 09-10 gas bond capital program. Item 4I, act on contract for 08-09 wastewater manhole rehabilitation. Item 4J, act on contract for Desert Well Number 11, electrical improvements and security enhancements. Item 4K, act on contract for new police evidence freezer storage, funding available from the approved fiscal year 08-09 law enforcement capital program. Item 4L, act on contract with Southwest Water Reclamation Plant bar screen installation, funding available from the approved fiscal year 08-09 wastewater bond program. Item 4M, act on contract for Falcon Field Airport pavement preservation and marking improvements. Item 5A, act on resolution pass-through grant funds, $86,250 for Mesa Public Schools for youth employment program. Item 5B, act on resolution approving memorandum of understanding with Mesa Public Schools to administer grant funds, $86,250 from Department of Economic Security. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance delaying adopting of ICC construction valuation table for calculating building permit fees. And item 7A, act on Z09-01, 5500 block of East McKellops Road to allow construction of two-story homes. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Christopher. Are there any items that any council member would like to remove from the consent agenda?
Mayor.
Yes.
Item 5.
Mr. Brady.
Item 5C needs to be read into the consent.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Item 5C was not read on to consent agenda. That needs to be acknowledged.
Okay. Item 5C is part of the consent, canvassing, declaring, and adopting the results of the special election held March 10th, 2009. Now read in the record. Okay, are there any items that we, council members, like to remove? We have a request from one individual to remove item 6A. Mr. Baxley, would you still like it removed, or you want to leave it and let it go through, or would you like to still speak on it? This is just introduction.
I would just like to speak in support of it.
Okay. That's your call. We can do that. All right, we'll remove item 6A from the agenda. Since that's the only item that is not on the consent agenda tonight. No. I know that. I want to see if anyone else was listening. Item 6A is removed from the agenda. Okay, are there any other items that have been requested, Ms. Crocker?
Additional items, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh to approve the consent agenda, a second from Councilmember Summers. Is there any discussion? If not, please vote. Councilmember Higgins, it didn't pick up your vote. Okay. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. The consent agenda is passed. The next item is item 6A, delaying implementation of adopting the most recent International Code Council construction valuation for calculating building permit fees. Mr. Kendall Baxley. Mr. Baxley, if you'd state your address for the record. Go ahead. You have 3 minutes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Smith, Vice Mayor Jones, excuse me, members of council. Good evening. My name is Kendall Baxley, and I represent the Home Builders Association of Central Arizona. I am also a proud citizen of the city of Mesa, residing in Council District 6. I come before you this evening to express our appreciation and support of Council's decision to delay the recent ICC construction evaluation table. Without question, the development landscape in Mesa has seen positive changes under the leadership of Mayor Smith. And as evidenced by decisions such as this one tonight, the city's economic forecast certainly looks bright for future developments in accomplishing the mayor's vision of building a better Mesa. That's all I had this evening, Mayor. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Baxley. Okay, I'll entertain a motion for item 6A. We have a motion from Councilmember Higgins, a second from Vice Mayor Jones. Any discussion on this item? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. Item 6A passes. All right, we're going to move on now to item 7B. It seems like there's just a smidgen of interest in this item. do we have a spokesperson for those opposed? I think we know where people stand on this, and we have some here, Mr.
One of each.
And we're going to get to you, Mr. Welker. I'm assuming you're speaking on behalf of the applicant. We have several people who want to speak both in support and several people who want to speak opposed. We can be here all night, and we will, if that's what you want to do. I think we have about 8 or 9 or 10 on each side. If you'd all like to speak, that's great. While Mr. Welker is giving his presentation, if you'd like to maybe have a spokesperson or two or three of you vote, or not vote, but speak, I would greatly encourage that, because I think the message, we've gotten your emails, we've gotten the letters, and I'm not wanting to quiet anybody, but in the sense of using our time wisely and getting an active yet fulfilling debate, perhaps you might want to think about somebody who could speak on your behalf. So, Mr. Welker, if you'd like to take the podium.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of Council, good evening. My name is Jeff Welker. My address is 1755 South Val Vista in Mesa. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to discuss with you this evening. This council use permit application is before you for Angel Tattoo. As you know, business owners, commercial property owners, staff, and the city council look to the city code to guide them in determining whether an individual qualifies for a council use permit, in this case, specifically a council use permit for a tattoo parlor. If I could quote from the city code, it says, a council use permit can be granted for tattoo parlors and body piercing salons in the C2 commercial district, provided that evidence of license certification or permits from the appropriate agencies have been achieved, and that the proposed location is not less than 1,200 feet from an existing tattoo parlor or to a school. You have before you a staff report that clearly indicates that Angel Tattoo's application complies with all the criteria established by code, such as the distance from a school, a distance from another tattoo parlor, compliance with the required permits and licenses, etc. In addition, the staff in the report notes that Angel Tattoo's application complies with the general plan, complies with the city code in general, and that there has not been any specific council policies or decisions rendered that are specific to tattoo parlors other than what is presented in this section of the city code. When I was talking to Mr. Coleman, who owns Angel Tattoo, about his application, I took the opportunity to come down and talk to city staff so I could educate myself and renew my familiarity with that section of the code. We went through the qualifications. I examined the location for Mr. Coleman's tattoo parlor where he proposed it, saw that he met all that criteria, and yet I knew that there was one more item that had to be addressed. And that item is also included in the city code in section 1161, where it says, and I'll quote, that it must be determined that the council use permit for a tattoo parlor is compatible with and not detrimental to adjacent properties or the neighborhood in general. Well, I saw that certainly as the big hurdle to get over with this application or any such application. And so I tried to do my best, as would any business person seeking out this type of permit, to evaluate what standards have the council established in the past and used historically to reach a decision about the compatibility or the detrimental factor of such an application. I inquired for staff to assist me with that, and they did a great job. And I was interested to learn that there has been only one other application that had been before Mesa City Council since it had adopted the CUP process for tattoo parlors back in 1997. And that was for a tattoo parlor called Damaged Ink down on South Alma School, just south of Guadalupe, on the west side of Alma School. I went through the minutes of the council meeting, the staff report, to try to educate myself on what had been the hurdles and the standards that council had used in that particular evaluation. What I found was interesting. In that case, staff had recommended denial of that application because it was less than 1,200 feet from a local public school. Also, the residents in that area have raised the same concerns, worries, apprehensions about that tattoo parlor have been raised about the Angel Tattoo Parlor, things such as increased crime, lower property values, etc. The City Council evaluated the staff report and its recommendation for denial, evaluated the presentation from the applicant, and interestingly enough, approved the application for the CUP unanimously. In that process, the mayor noted several things, and the staff affirmed that. A, that there is no documentation or data that would affirm the concern that a tattoo parlor increases crime. B, that there's no data or information available that would support the notion that a tattoo parlor lowers property values. And so I believe and reached the conclusion after reading that council decision that they reached that decision because they could not substantiate the concerns that would suggest a detrimental effect and instead found that it was a compatible use even though it was less than 1,200 feet from a public school. Mr. Coleman's Angel Tattoo Parlor does not have the problem that the damaged ink does. In fact, it complies with everything. In the staff report for Angel Tattoo, they note the same things about crime not being a real issue, as some may fear. So I took a look and said, what's the difference between the two applications? What do I notice? Has anything changed? And what I find is that there's some commentary in the staff report, and there were some statements made by members of the community who came to our neighborhood meeting that there's a concern that a density or a consolidation of certain type of CUP uses in a specific area together creates a detrimental effect. In this case, things like a tattoo parlor, a check cashing facility, a bar, a massage parlor, etc. All things that require council use permits, and the theory being that if they happen to be located close enough to one another, that while by themselves they may not create a detrimental effect, the overriding collective effect would be detrimental of all those land uses. I went back and looked again to see if I could find, had the City Council adopted a new policy since it had heard and made a decision on the damaged ink application that would indicate that this was now a new standard by which they were going to evaluate these applications. In your report, you'll note that staff did a fine job of pointing out how many massage parlors, check cashing facilities, bars, and tattoo parlors were located at certain distances from the Angel Tattoo Parlor. My concern is that's not the same criteria that was used with the damaged ink application that was approved. And so at the end of the day, I have a serious concern that an informal criteria is being established by which Mr. Coleman's tattoo parlor application is being evaluated compared to the last one that came before the City Council. On face value, it would seem as if the Angel Tattoo Parlor application is a slam dunk approved and here we go. But we know that there's more to it than that. But I would ask the council respectfully to use the same criteria that was used for the Damage Inc. application in judging this application. I believe if you do so, you will find that you can approve this with a clear conscience. When we did our neighborhood outreach, we received comments from the neighbors. We took those comments seriously. Mr. Coleman took them so seriously, he came up with a 6-point good neighbor policy to try to address those apprehensions. Even though there was no data or empirical evidence to support it, he wanted to try to be a good neighbor. He went to the point of volunteering to staff that those 6 items could be included as conditions of his council use permit approval. And Mr. Coleman is well aware of the results of that type of endeavor. He knows that at any time this City Council can review his CUP application. And if he is found to be deficient or in violation of one single condition of approval, that council use permit can be revoked and his business closed. But yet he still wanted to do this because, A, he wanted to be a good neighbor, and he's not worried about it. He's confident that he can maintain the standards that he's established for this tattoo parlor. So with that said, I would respectfully request that the City Council follow the recommendation of staff and approve this application for a council use permit for the Angel Tattoo Parlor. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have and would reserve an opportunity to respond to comments that may be made later.
Any questions for Mr. Welker right now? I think we may catch you a little bit later when you come back after.
Just to let you know, I've encouraged Mr. Coleman that if those in opposition would agree to shorten their list, we would certainly be willing to shorten ours.
Well, I'm going to present something here. Michelle Ray Breathauer?
Yes.
Michelle?
I'm going to defer to Joanne. She's got her pictures.
Joanne's got pictures.
Yeah, she's going to show you some things.
Well, here's what you represent the Dobson Ranch HOA, right?
Selecting three people from our group.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is that we'll give you an additional amount of time to present what I would assume would be the on behalf of the HOA or the collective group, a little bit more time than other people, like 5 minutes to answer or what Mr. Welker said or raise other issues. And then we'll go to staff, and then we'll come back. And if these two individuals have covered, for the most part, what others would have say, would have said, we've got your cards here. We'll read it into the record. If you'd like, you can still talk. But why don't we give you a chance to speak? Come on up. And both of you can come up if you want. And if you'd state your name and address and who you represent for the record, and then normally we'd limit you to 3 minutes, but go ahead and take 5 minutes if you need. And if,
okay, thank you. Okay. My name is Joanne Smith. My address is 2450 South El Dorado in Mesa. And could I have permission to put these on the, in just a second, I'll be ready.
Okay, I'll wait for you.
Okay, thanks. I am a Dobson Ranch resident. I have been a resident of Dobson Ranch for over 20 years. I love the neighborhood, and I want to stay there. The neighborhood is very concerned about the increased crime and the lower property values. There has been a lot of increased criminal activity in our neighborhood. I want to show you something that just recently occurred at Rhodes Junior High over the weekend. Can we put this? Okay. These are pictures that were taken by Mesa Public School worker. And I don't know if it's coming up very clearly, but there was some gang activity at Rhodes Junior High this weekend. And I have two pages of pictures. I blocked off the naughty words. So it's not offensive to anyone, and they defaced 13 areas of Rhodes Junior High this weekend. The Mesa Public Schools was out there painting it this morning, trying to get rid of all of this nasty language. Now, a tattoo parlor in our area is just not acceptable right across the street from Rhodes Junior High. It is a well-known fact that gang members have tattoos all over their bodies with their gang insignias. And I'm not saying that everyone, of course I'm not saying that everyone that goes into a tattoo parlor is a member of a gang. But I am saying that there is a potential for increased that this would draw more gangs, potentially, to that type of business in our area. We want to get rid of this criminal activity. We want to get rid of these gangs in our area. We don't want a business here that would attract this kind of activity in our neighborhood. This happened down on Katarina, down the street right by me last year. This continues to occur, and we want to stop it. Now, the Mesa Tribune quoted this Mr. Coleman, the owner of this tattoo parlor, as saying that he has a good neighbor policy, which is great, and that he won't do racist or gang-related tattoos. How is he going to determine if someone comes into his business if it's a gang-related tattoo or not? I just recently learned that number one with the diamond shape around it is a gang insignia. I had no idea. There's thousands of these insignias. How is he going to determine that this is a gang-related, and is he going to really send that business away? And how is the city going to monitor that? How are you going to regulate that he's not going to have gang members in that area loitering and in the business and around our area? This is directly across from Roach Junior High. It is way too close. As you know, it's been pointed out, but he didn't point out all of them. There's 29 massage parlors, 15 payday loans, 8 bars, 4 pawn shops, and 2 other tattoo body piercing shops right in our area. That's way too much. And it's right in West Mesa, right in our Dobson Ranch area. And so we respectfully request that you deny this application, that it is in a community, it is in a neighborhood, it should not be placed there directly in front of, right across from Rhodes Junior High. It should be placed in a more commercial area. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go to staff first. Mr. Wesley, do you have a report on this item?
Yes, Mayor and Council, we have a report that was included in your packet. This is a request for council use permit to be able to operate a tattoo parlor on South Dobson Road. As has been stated, there are some basic criteria that are used in evaluating location of a tattoo parlor, one of the main ones being the 1,200-foot separation between tattoo parlors and from schools. This request does meet those various ordinance-established requirements. The other part of it, again, as has been stated, is that when evaluating a council use permit, the reason these things come to the council is that there is some discretionary view of the impact of the proposed use on the existing neighborhood or the neighborhood around the area where the use is requested. Will the use, what the council is looking at is, will this use contribute to the neighborhood or will it be detrimental to the neighborhood? As staff reviewed this and prepared its report for the council meeting, we looked at some of the basic criteria in terms of crime statistics, the impact of other tattoo parlors, what some other cities do with regard to regulating these uses. We found that most cities do regulate this particular use in their cities. We searched in various ways. We could not find any specific criteria that's used to evaluate the detrimental impacts to say that you know, what those specific impacts might be, but it seems to be a fairly common approach from cities that there is a concern about this type of use in their communities and where they might locate in neighborhoods. Planning and Zoning Board, in their review and listening to the staff discussion and the applicant and neighbors, came to the determination that this use really wasn't appropriate in this particular location, that it would have a detrimental impact on the neighborhood, that there were better uses that could go in this location. Therefore, the council or the P&Z board has recommended denial of this particular request.
Mr. Wesley, I'm interested by something you said. A lot of cities regulate these things, and yet I've never heard or read or been presented with information that shows that there is a direct correlation between the existence of a tattoo parlor and specific detrimental activity. And from what you're saying, that's pretty common. So what would be the reason and the history behind all the cities regulating these and treating them as negative? There's obviously a negative perception.
Mayor and Council, at this point, that's all that we could really point to is the perception of the negative impacts, because we couldn't find any specific examples that communities had of absolute detrimental impacts. But I believe historically it has been viewed, as you've heard some comments this evening, that this type of use, again, the perception that it draws a criminal element, perception that it's an indication of a declining neighborhood, it's an indication that uses are going down in the area and that has that negative impact on property values. But we could not find specific data that supported that.
I'm a little bit interested in the comment of the it talks about a declining area. What's the cause and what's the effect? I mean, is this something that follows a declining area, or does this create a declining area, or is it one and the same, or?
Mayor, I wish I could answer that question. But that is, again, it's that chicken and egg thing that we look at every time we come up with these particular types of applications. Is it an indication that the neighborhood's already going downhill? If you approve this use, will it start that ball rolling in a downhill way? Again, we don't have any specific information that supports one way or another, but the perceptions are there that somehow these types of uses, particularly as Mr. Welker talked about, as you get several of these locating together, that they do contribute to a decline in a neighborhood.
When people talk to you about their perceptions, is it related to the activity that's going on, or is it related to the appearance of the business? I mean, I've been by some tattoo businesses where there are, you know, you look like you're in a carnival. There's flashing lights, there's neon all over, those kind of things. What do you think is, and I'm asking you to just make a judgment call from your professional experience, which is more offensive to people, the actual activity that's perceived to be going on there, or the perception and the appearance that the business gives as it advertises itself and its storefront and those kind of things?
Mayor, from what I've heard, it seems to be the biggest concern is again, at least a perception by people who have observed these establishments, are the people that come and maybe are loitering around the area and some of the things that happen from there. We had some report in the staff report about the Damage Inc. case and some of the businesses adjacent to that, of people loitering out in front, the smoking that goes on, and just some of the negative feeling they had of how that affected their businesses from just that activity that happens in association with.
Isn't that something that can be regulated by every shopping center as part of a lease has rules and regulations. Isn't that something that the shopping center owner could regulate effectively? People loitering around a business, people doing those kind of things?
Mayor, I'm not in a position to be able to answer that. You would think so, but I couldn't really address that.
Okay. Mr. Welker? Give you a couple minutes to answer what's been presented, or if you have any more information, and maybe ask some questions.
Mayor, I hope I'm not precluding the opportunity for.
And if you want Mr. Coleman to get up and ask, fine.
I'd like him to. But first, yes, I would. Respective to gang tattoos, I did a little educating of myself, not being much of an expert in that area. I have a cousin who's with the Tempe Police Department, and so I called him because. If the full breadth of Mr. Coleman's good neighbor policy regarding gang tattoos is he would work with the local police department to identify those gang tattoos and refuse to give them. I've since learned, in speaking to my cousin, that the vast majority of gangs don't allow their gang members to be tattooed by anybody but another member of their gang. They don't typically go to tattoo parlors to get gang tattoos, and in fact, he informs me that they are severely punished, is a mild way of putting it, for getting a tattoo outside of the gang environment. So that's something that I think could be reasonably policed. The P&Z decision, their finding, again, we keep getting this to perception, but nothing to back up the perception. I think your questions were very well founded on where these things coming from that create that. Is the neighborhood declining in this area? Some might say yes, the shopping center to the north is nearly gone vacant, but it's not because of tattoo parlors or check cashing facilities, it's because of the economy. And smoking, you know, that was an interesting comment that came up more than once from some folks who said, we see a congregation of smokers in the tattoo parlor that's down on Alma School just north of Guadalupe that's still in business. Went to investigate and found out the majority of folks who were, quote-unquote, loitering in front and smoking came from the Planned Parenthood business next door as a unintended consequence of the city's no-smoking policy. They couldn't smoke in their business, and they had to go somewhere else, and they were congregating out in front. So it's not necessarily the tattoo parlor that's creating that.
So we mentioned tattoo parlors and Planned Parenthood in the same discussion, huh? Thank you, Mr. Welker.
Mayor, you can certainly attribute that faux pas to me. And yes, there was a whole bunch of folks who came to speak in support of the tattoo parlor, but there's three specific that would very much like to speak.
If Mr. Coleman would like to speak, I'd like to hear from him.
I have a few things I'd like to submit, if that'd be possible.
Right ahead.
The first thing I think is interesting is the Barbie, okay? The perception of tattoos is supposed to be a negative thing, but why is Mattel promoting tattoos? This is the new Barbie that just came out. Tattoos for you, tattoos for Barbie, and tattoos for fashion. I don't think that's a negative perception. As well as this weekend, we went throughout the Dobson Ranch area and we acquired 196 petitions from the businesses around, from the homeowners around, from the people that live in that area that signed in support of our shop. They feel that it's going to be a positive aspect to the area. So I would like to submit these petitions. As well as a couple support letters, some pictures of our work, and the most recent issue of the Mesa Tribune, which I think is relevant to the case. And I would like to also say for the good neighbor policy, the fact is we can enforce it, because if somebody does come in for a gang tattoo, like Mr. Walker said, the tattoos are, in the years of experience we have of tattooing, we've never tattooed any gang-related tattoos. Nobody comes in and says, can you tattoo, West Side locos? Or it's never happened in our experience. I can't see it happening in the future. And I agree with her. That's out of line to do the tagging on the walls, but it's not tattooists that are tagging on the walls. We're putting our art under the skin. We're not putting it on the walls. So I don't think that has anything to do with us or our shop or tattooing. We can enforce our good neighbor policy. We agreed to close our shop at 7 p.m., We agreed that there would be nobody loitering in front of our business. If any of our customers loiter in front of the business, we will ask them to leave. If they don't leave, we will contact the police and ask them to have it escorted. We can enforce our good neighbor policy. And we even said it can be a condition in the issuance of our permit. If we violate these conditions, you can pull our permit from us. You pull our permit from us, we'll walk away from this. We'll take all of our material, we'll leave Mesa, and you'll never hear from us again. But just give us that chance to run our business. That's all we're asking for, just a chance. We will be employing between 6 and 7 people at this location, all of whom are here tonight, except one, she's still in France. But all of whom are here tonight, half of whom are unemployed at the time, we would be taking these people off of unemployment. All of them have children. All of us are family members ourselves. I have 3 children here with me. All of the tattooists that will be working at the shop, all of them have children. We're all family members, just like the people in Dobson Ranch. I think we have a right to be there just as well as they do. Our business isn't going to do anything negative to the area. All we're doing is tattooing people. We're putting art under the skin. If we put the art on a piece of paper, it would be looked at differently. But because we put it under the skin, there's a bad perception about us, and I don't think that's fair for us. To date, we have invested $62,000 into our shop. That's $62,000 that we've earned in France, and we brought to this country to help bring up the economy and to help do something for ourselves. Obviously, that's not your guys' problem, but I just thought it would be necessary to say, we brought money that we earned in France, all of our life savings, to invest in a shop here. I'm from Mesa, Arizona. I wanted my children to be able to experience both sides of the culture. I thought it would be cool. We could eventually buy a house here. Our children can come here. We'll eventually stay 2 or 3 months here, 2 or 3 months in France. We can bounce back and forth. Our children will be able to experience both sides of the cultures. I thought it was a good opportunity for us and for everybody involved in this. And this specific spot, we chose it for a reason, because it's a clean area, it's a nice area, and that's the kind of clientele that we're used to dealing with in France, and that's the kind of clientele we want here. We don't want to tattoo drug addicts, junkies, gang members, troublemakers. We don't want that. If we tattoo somebody that's infected with disease, we risk to get poked and we get infected. We bring that home to our children. We don't want that. We want a clean clientele, just like we have in France, and that's what we're striving for here. That's why we specifically chose this location. We want a nice, clean area. We're nice, clean people will come, and I think it's fair for the people of the area to not be forced into a corner in a dirty location to get tattooed. There should be an opportunity for everybody there. Another thing I would like to pound away on is we do a lot of memorial tattoos. We do tattoos that commemorate people's lost loved ones, people that were in the military that want to remember their experience in the military. We give people closure when we give them tattoos of portraits of their dead loved ones or the names of their children. You know, it's not all about the negativity. You know, there's a lot of positive things involved in tattooing nowadays. There's a lot of tattooists that participate in community events. They donate their time. They donate their money. And since we've been at this location, I've donated to the Mesa Police Department. And we're in the process, if we get open, to donate a portion of our proceeds to the Children's Diabetes Fund. We're not all bad people, you know. Don't look at us for the what's on our skin. Look at us for what's in our heart and how we are. So that's basically all I got to say. Please give us a chance. And like I said, the permit is conditional. If we mess up, take it from us and we'll walk away. Please consider.
Thank you very much, Mr. Coleman.
Thank you.
Any questions, Mr. Coleman? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Who are the, Mr. Welker, who are the three that you'd like to speak? Introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Carrie Ann Citrin. I'm an attorney at the Goldwater Institute's Scharf Norton Center for Constitutional Litigation. The Goldwater Institute, as you may know, is based in Phoenix, Arizona, but we're currently working on a lawsuit for a gentleman named Tom Preston in the city of Tempe. And the city council there recently denied Mr. Preston his use permit for a tattoo studio in Tempe. And Tempe's code is very similar to Mesa's. Both cities require a use permit for tattooing, and they include factors like compatibility with the general plan and compatibility with the neighborhood area and property values surrounding the proposed location. The concerns and the objections raised for Tom's permit seem to be very similar from what we've heard so far to those that are raised here tonight throughout the permit process for Mr. Coleman. I thought it might be useful to come today and talk with you about the constitutional rights at stake for Mr. Coleman, which is where the Goldwater Institute's interests come in. First, it's important to consider that tattooing gets extra protections in our courts because it's a form of expression and it's protected by the First Amendment. It's also protected by Arizona's own free speech provision in our state constitution. The expression rights of tattooing and other forms of body art extend in two different ways. They extend first to the tattoo artist and, of course, second to the person getting the tattoo. Because of the expressive nature, courts give the right to get and give tattoos the highest standard of review, which is strict scrutiny. As you know, council members are afforded a large measure of discretion, and it's up to you to determine use permits. But from the court's perspective, should the court have an opportunity to review your decisions, a tattoo permit might receive more strict scrutiny in court because its expressive nature is protected and is held in the highest regards in our state and federal constitutions. Now, second constitutional right at stake here is equal protection. And that's also known as the Equal Privileges and Immunities Clause in our state constitution. Now, as a legal business, tattooing is subject only to the extra restrictions in the city code. For example, limiting the distance a tattoo studio can be from schools, which is what Mesa requires. But aside from those definitive limits, tattooing must be considered just like any other business. And further, Mr. Coleman's permit application must be considered just like all other permit applications. A third constitutional right is due process, and that's relevant to the case here. A U.S. Supreme Court case sums up due process in a decision called Board of Regents versus Roth, saying that due process is, quote, the right of the individual to engage in any of the common occupations of life as essential to the orderly pursuit of happiness by free men. Nowadays, tattooing is certainly a common occupation. As Mr. Coleman has explained to you, as you can read in the report of Robert Camrath that I emailed to you recently, and as you can read in journals and magazines across the country. Now, one thing that I wanted to touch on before I close that Mr. Wesley brought up, the perception of negative impacts. This was also brought up at the Tempe City Council hearing, and in fact was one of the major reasons that council decided to deny the permit of Tom Preston. And I want to read to you just a little quote and a portion from our brief in the court, which we filed actually today in that case. And this is from the decision of Howard versus City of Kingston. And the court wrote, a city's council denial of a conditional use permit based solely upon the generalized objections and concerns of neighboring community members is impermissible. Speculative assertions, mere expressions of opinions, and generalized fears about the possible effects of granting a permit are insufficient to support the findings of a quasi-judicial body, which is as the city council is acting here today. In other words, the denial of a conditional use permit may not be based on conclusions which are speculative, sentimental, personal, vague, or merely an excuse to prohibit the requested use. Of course, as our public representatives, it's up to you to decide on Mr. Coleman's permit here today. And with this decision comes a considerable amount of discretion, but it's also limited by constitutional bounds, which are raised in this case. Of course, it's your duty to honor these constitutional bounds, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have. I'd also encourage you, if you'd like to learn more, to visit our website where we've posted our entire legal brief, and please do contact us for further questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Is that a yes or no? Okay. Thank you. You said you just filed briefs today. So what's the status of this? This has not been decided at all. You're not in an appeal or anything, or is?
No, this is in the Maricopa County Superior Court right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Welker, one more. And 3 minutes, Ms. Crocker.
Good evening.
Please state your name.
I'm Janice Stinglein, good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, and citizens. I am from Apache Junction now, but I was born and raised in Mesa. Went to high school here, junior high, elementary school. I was raised in a family that was greatly influenced by people who believed in the American work ethic. My cousin Ryan and I were taught by our grandfather that we were lucky to be Americans. He was in the Air Force, and he'd been all over the place. Mesa's where he landed, and he said he didn't want to go anywhere else ever again. We learned that everyone's freedom was priceless, everyone's, and not just religious freedom or freedom of speech, but economic freedom as well. My cousin Ryan, as you know, was able to go to France, and with his wife, they became successful and acclaimed tattooed artists and business owners. I'm really proud of his success, and when he told me he was going to come in here to Mesa, I was excited for him. I never thought he would face such opposition here in the land of the free. I believe that when a group seeks to restrain the liberty of another group or individual, everyone loses. And I've heard it said before that people who oppose this business are simply seeking to have the city protect them from something they see as negative. I think it would benefit these people to remember something Benjamin Franklin once said, that those who would sacrifice liberty for security deserve neither. I'm not a fan of tattoos. I don't have any. I probably never will. It's just not my thing. It's not my choice. I'm here because I believe in protecting individual liberties and economic freedom. And I'm also here because I've seen over these last years what a hard worker and family man my cousin Ryan is. I'm very proud of him, and I know that his business will benefit the city. It will employ people, generate tax revenue, and give people a clean and upscale place to get a tattoo. People like my sister, who just got a tattoo to commemorate her daughter who died when she was 17 months old, and my cousin, who got a tattoo to remember her mother, and my husband's fellow combat veterans, who remember their fallen comrades through tattoos. So I'm here asking you, as a fellow public servant and lover of this city, Please approve this permit so that my cousin and his family can continue on their pursuit of happiness. Let them realize this American dream, which ironically they've already gotten a taste of in France. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Tinglin. Appreciate it. Oh, one question?
I don't know if it's necessarily a question for you, but you made a comment about generating sales tax revenue. Are tattoos taxable? Outside of the rental tax for the space, what sales tax is collected?
Mayor, Councilmember Richens, off the top of my head, I do not believe the tattoos are required. Licensed entities are required to have a transaction privilege tax because it's a service. But for the city of Mesa, beyond that, I'm not certain at this time.
All right. Now we'll listen to some who oppose. Is there anyone in particular, Ms. Brethau, you'd like to start with?
Frank Gazzano.
Mr. Gazzano, please. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Mayor, Town Council, and citizens, thank you for the time this evening and your consideration in this matter. I followed the developments around Angel's Tattoo, attended the meeting they had, talked with neighbors, followed it in the paper, and I'm here tonight. I have nothing against tattoos or tattoo artists or anyone who desires to earn their living doing so. But when you take a look at Mesa and you go from east to west, the cross-section you see is of aging homes and infrastructure to new development. One of the engines to drive resurgence in West Mesa is the Fiesta Mall corridor. The fuel for that engine is Dobson Ranch, and our community needs to be economically viable and vibrant to provide that energy. 2008 median home prices in 85202 were $205,000, or approximately $250,000 in the Dobson Ranch area. We were lucky enough to have the fifth smallest decline of home prices last year across Mesa's 13 zip codes and the fifth largest increase over the last 5 years. The significant concern about Angel's Tattoo is it adds a proliferation of service-oriented businesses that decrease our home value. You've all seen the Mesa Tribune map. Within that corridor of Price to Alma School and 60 to Guadalupe, there's 12 massage parlors, 5 payday loan stores, and 2 tattoos, including Angel's. This proliferation and density is a concern, and property devaluation is a certainty. Mesa is not the only city dealing with this today. There's been an explosion of applications to cities for such businesses. Santa Clara, California struggled with the same issue in developing their ordinance. Here was one of their findings. The Santa Clara Police Department reviewed studies conducted in Oakland, California, St. Paul, Minnesota, Seattle, Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, and in the city of Santa Clara, and concluded that specific regulated uses do have numerous negative effects upon the area and lead to increasing calls for service in response to crime. The study identified tattoo or branding shops and body piercing establishments as a magnet for organized crime and gang activity, and found that these establishments had excessive calls for service. The study also noted that check cashing shops were also a center of criminal activity, resulting in extra calls for service. During the community meeting with Mr. Welker, conducted on behalf of Angel's Tattoo, we met the manager. The manager offered us the following, quote, "We have already visited the police substation to inform them of our business, and if there is anything we cannot handle on our own inside the shop, they'll respond quickly." That is not a resounding endorsement of a community-oriented business that will help us maintain and improve our property values. Mr. Coleman's situation of his sunk cost for proceeding with this business venture without the proper permits is not the issue here tonight. That cost is insignificant to the cost the residents will bear if Angels and other adult service businesses like his continue to proliferate in West Mesa. With regards to the attorney's representation from the Goldwater Institute about the complaint that's been filed, this is a copy of the complaint. You're more than welcome to look at it. It's obviously public record. It's Tom Preston versus Hugh Hallman and the rest of the council. There was a significant difference in that case between what that and what we're looking at tonight. The Zoning Commission had actually approved the permit, and the business had begun when the Town Council then later came back and revoked it. And regarding precedent on that as to the terms and conditions on which a CUP permit can be evaluated, that's already been addressed at Supreme Court level, City of Los Angeles versus Alameda Book.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cusano. Appreciate it. And anyone else? Mr. King?
Nate Kane, I live by Alma School and Baseline in Dobson Ranch. So I'll put up a cartoon.
Come on.
This is from Parade Magazine over the weekend, and they have you make up your own caption. So I made up my own caption. The old lady is asking the tattoo guy. She says, I'm looking to get Dobson Ranch logo tramp stamp on my lower back, and my husband wants a Prince Albert genital piercing. Could we maybe work out a package deal? And the reason I put that up is because it's incongruous. This is the same problem with putting this tattoo parlor into our community. It doesn't belong and it doesn't fit. There's been a lot of statements made here, and I want to point out one that Mr. Welker mentioned about, not the damage ink, the other one, the other tattoo parlor, something hands. I went by there this afternoon, too, and saw the smoking, and it wasn't the people from the Planned Parenthood. It's the guys sitting out there resting their cigarettes on their glass windows or their own shop. So I don't think Planned Parenthood would be doing that. I also went down to Damage Inc., which we're now forced to look at the leftover signs. When these businesses leave, they don't take down their signs. So despite the fact that Damage Inc. has been out of business for a while, they've still got... They've still got the tattoo sign above the building, which leads further to the negative perception when you see all of the old check cashing signs, tattoo signs, and massage parlor signs. If they're there in business or not, you still have the negative perception. I think that the City Council is working on some zoning changes which will say that you cannot aggregate these things in the same location. Right now, the policy seems to be you can't have two tattoo parlors nearby, you can't have two massage parlors nearby. It's unfortunate that that zoning change isn't in place yet, because then this would be a moot point.
I also, Mr. Kane, you went by Damaged Ink when?
Just this afternoon.
That's a picture from
there. Well, I thought they were closed.
The other one, I can't remember. It's something Busy Hands or so.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Idle Hands. I'm sorry. All right. So Idle Hands is the one that they mentioned next to the Planned Parenthood.
All right.
I also had the same map here. And I point out on that. You know, this tattoo parlor is right in the heart of Dobson Ranch. That is where our signature entrance is. We have built, you know, a nice landscaped area. Here we are, right here. This is the tattoo parlor. This is our signature entrance. There's a beautiful garden there, rose garden, landscape area, monuments that welcome you to Dobson Ranch, a well-established community. It's been there 35 years. And what do you get? You look across the street. Right in that same shopping center is check cashing, massage parlor, and now they want to put tattoo parlor. I got nothing against the tattoo guys and all, but there's other areas of town that it seems to make more sense. My best advice to you guys would be, if you don't want it in your district, then don't vote to put it in our district. The thing that's perplexing to me is they say that there's 130 square miles in the city, and there's 9 tattoo parlors. Why would we need 3 in 1 square mile of Dobson Ranch? Could somebody wake up the video guy? From my house at Alma School and Baseline, 1 mile west would be Angel. 1 mile south is the Idle Hands, and a few mile, half a mile south of there is the.
You have a monitor right there that you can line it up.
Yeah, but I'm looking up there and it's not
right
on the screen.
If you center this up, then we'll bring it.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
In other words, we got 3 in 1 square mile area. I don't think that if there's only 9 in all of Mesa that we need 3 there.
Can I say something on the 3?
Excuse me for a second.
You'll have your chance, Mr. Coleman.
I do want to address one thing, Mr. Coleman. You know, the problem is that they opened up this shop before they had any of the permits in order. Last July or August, we go by there, and they're already got construction and stuff going on. And when a few of us called the city, they were quite perplexed. There's no building permits, sign permits, or any of the permit process involved there. So that put the brakes on this immediately. Then we were told by the city, even if they initially did the paperwork in September, it would still be about 2 months before it went through staff, planning and zoning, and then before you guys. This never happened. This took like 4 months before they did anything, and now they're complaining that they spent all this money. It seems that they got the horse before the cart in that they rented the place and they put a lot of money into remodeling it before they had any of their ducks in a row in terms of the permits and the ability to open up the shop there.
Okay.
And I also need to point out that, you know, a lot of people mentioned this is not the kind of impulse thing that you need. I'll wrap it up. You know, you run down the street for video rentals, gasoline for your car, groceries and like that. When you're doing a tattoo, I hope that people actually, you know, think it through what the design is and all. If you had to drive a few more miles down the road to an established shop, that doesn't seem to me to be a major disadvantage. Sorry for taking more time than I had.
Mr. King, I have one question for you that sort of puzzled me about the whole area. Dobson Ranch is a great neighborhood. Why is that corner, the shopping tended to go down? Those are neighborhood centers, which you would assume attracts people from the neighborhood. Why are people in Dobson Ranch either not shopping at the Bashes there, or they are shopping at all the different stores that you talk about that are negative? I'm a little bit...
I went around to 2 of the other shopping centers. I'll put up the smaller map. There's a shopping center here where the Idle Hands guys are. And right along the front of the street, there's about, say, egg shops. One of them recently gone out, but most of them are actually doing okay. But when you go further in the shopping center, I bet 80% of it's vacant. I mean, just literally all the old wreckage signs on there. And you got the same thing at this intersection, which is Guadalupe and Baseline. It seems that, like you guys mentioned earlier, it's chicken and egg. Does a shopping center go down and then these businesses are attracted to there, or do these businesses go into there and then it drags down the rest of the shopping center? My concern is that why would the guys at Albertson Shopping Center, which is in good shape, be so desperate to rent out one of their last vacant shops that they would attract these businesses? I prefer to have seen empty shop there, because an empty shop to me shows some hope for the future. It says we're available when the economy improves, we'll have something going on. When you now have massage parlor, bars, strip clubs, you know, porno stores and like that in the place, it says that there is no future. You've already seen it, and this is the future.
Well, okay, let me ask you, let me play devil's advocate a little bit here for you. If that's what Dobson Ranch residents are supporting, then, I mean, if they're not supporting the businesses that you want to be there and they are supporting these other businesses that you don't want to be in there, I'm a little bit confused.
Well,
as to...
like some of the speakers earlier today, I was surprised at the number of massage parlors. You know, you've heard me before complain about the check cashing places, you know.
There's people, a lot of bad backs in Dobson
Ranch.
Yeah,
and a lot of happy endings too, you know. That's my second dirty of the joke, I'm sorry. That, what was your question again?
Well, I'm just wondering, I mean, I guess I'm a little bit nonplussed or confused by the whole argument that somehow this is pulling the whole neighborhood down when I'm trying to figure out what is the chicken and what is the egg. And I'm thinking these centers have thrived for 30, 35 years. You have a community that has held its value. And yet, for some reason, the businesses that you consider to be acceptable businesses are leaving. They're not generating the business, and other businesses that don't appeal to you are moving in. And I'm trying to figure out who's using those businesses.
The check cashing, I don't understand. You know, I don't think that a lot of people in Dobson Ranch need that. But, you know,
the average check cashing person makes about $50,000 a year. So
that's my point. I think that they make so much money that they can afford to get in there. And when you've got a shopping center that has some vacant, you know, facilities like this one, they're glad to get the rent of another shop in there, regardless of whether it's us. That same intersection is where we had the shootout 2 years ago. And, you know, that's, in fact, right near Bash's is where the shootout was at the check cashing place. So maybe you can say that, yeah, Bash's went downhill because there started to be a negative perception at that shopping center because there was a shootout at the check cashing place.
Okay. All right, any other questions for Mr. Kane? Thank you very much. I have a bunch of other cards here. I don't know whether your opinion has been stated adequately. If it has, then I would suggest that we maybe move on with discussion. If it hasn't, then I would invite you to also speak since you've requested to. Let me go through some of the people that have asked to speak in support. Don Roberts, do you still wish to speak?
Yes, I'd like to.
Okay, Ms. Roberts, come on up. Ma'am, you have 3 minutes.
Hi. My name is Don Roberts. I'm at 1609 West Capri in Mesa. I don't live in the immediate neighborhood where the Angel Tattoo Shop wants to open, but I am a West Mesa resident, just a few miles from the location. It seems to me that the Dobson Ranch Homeowners Association and perhaps the city's Planning and Zoning Board have an outdated idea of what tattoo shops are. The shops have been compared to payday loan stores, check cashing businesses, and plasma centers, which are also in the area or under the requirements. Tattoo shops are not in the same category as payday loan stores. Payday loans prey on people's vulnerabilities and exploit those people. Tattoo shops are places where people go to do something creative with their bodies. It's an art form with a long, rich, worldwide history. And tattoo artists are just that, artists. Part of the problem now, it seems, is that some folks in the neighborhood seem to have little knowledge as to what has happened in tattoo culture over the past 20 or so years. They seem to think that tattooing is still something dark and dirty that happens in back rooms. Tattooing has changed over the years. It's now considered a viable art form. Rich and famous people sport tattoos. Your suburban daughter has a tattoo, and her friend's father probably has a tattoo. When was the last time any of you were in a tattoo shop? There is an aesthetic around them, certainly, but it has changed over the years. Tattoo shops now, more often than not, pride themselves on being clean, hip, and trendy. Tattoo shops are now mainstream culture, not seedy back alley places. Christina Aguilera is tattooed, soccer star David Beckham, Robert De Niro, Angelina Jolie, and even Sir Sean Connery have tattoos. Get rid of the payday loans. Get more creative shops in like this one. Bring in more good restaurants. Have the light rail come to downtown Mesa. Maybe Mesa will be a place where people from Phoenix come to shop on the weekend one day. Please update your thinking about tattoos and tattoo shops. Most places have tried hard to shake the old image of seedy tattoo parlor and create a new, clean, upscale image for the art. I hope the council approves the Angel Tattoos shops permit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Don. Michelle, you have somebody else? Or should I just go down the list? Okay. Mr. John, I'm sorry, is it Steak? Stitch? I apologize if I butchered your name. So you have 3 minutes.
Yeah. John Stitch at 2534 West Medina Avenue. I just had a couple pictures. I was over to Idle Hands Tattoo today also, and I wouldn't say there's probably any major problems, but this is a couple of their clients. Take care of that. We can get that up there somehow.
Is that move it down? I think a little bit.
There he comes.
So look on the monitor and see if how it's showing up.
These individuals, as you'll see. I don't know if that's typical. However, nice guys, and they let me take their picture. I asked them about how long it takes them to get an appointment there to see if there's a waiting line, and they said there's never a problem getting an appointment. I shouldn't say never. They'd have to have some time, but there's not a problem. So, and that's in the area that we're talking about, within a little over a mile. It's right on Alma School Road. And I guess the Planned Parenthood gals, because I walked in that place, do smoke a lot. and that's the way it looked. Now, today, it wasn't quite that bad. This was taken a little prior to this the first meeting. And I know that this guy hit the Mesa Tribune. And he's trying to do a little something for what he's done on meth. And I don't know, it's just not the type of people that we really like in our neighborhood. Not saying Mr. Coleman would have that type. But
aren't you inferring that?
Probably.
Okay, I want to make sure that we're on.
I probably am. And because these two fellows these young guys that were hanging around out on the outside, but, you know, hanging around, they were just chatting, smoking and chatting about their tattoos, and they were proud of them. I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Holly Gibbons, still want to speak?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Come on up. I'm sorry. Yes, you do want to speak? Okay. Thank you. Mr. Charles Williamson?
No.
Okay.
Supporter.
I'm sorry. Mr. Williamson opposes. Apologize. Micah McGuire, would you still like to speak in support? Okay. I'm sorry. Manel Williamson? Still like to speak. Mrs. Williamson is opposed.
My name is Manel Williamson. I live at 2519 West Madero on Dobson Ranch, and I'm going to be very brief and cut to the quick because I think that most of this has been covered tonight for my side. We are opposed to it, and I did want to tell you just a couple of things. Dobson Ranch has many original homeowners. That means that Dobson Ranch was started over 35 years ago. And if you assume that they were 20 years old when they bought their house on Dobson Ranch, that gives them a minimum age of 55. So there are a good many of us that are over 55 on Dobson Ranch. It is a great place to live. It is so good that we own two homes on Dobson Ranch. And we want to keep this a great place. Nate talked about the intersection there being our doorway. It is the front door to Dobson Ranch. It's where people drive through and get a sense of community. And we want them to have a sense of community that are our values. Not that young people's values are wrong, it's just that they are different from our values. And what you must realize is that we have many people that are in that 55 and plus bracket in Dobson Ranch. And I think one of the things you want to consider tonight is this consistent with the neighborhood? And I must tell you, I think that it is not consistent with our neighborhood. And I'm going to very briefly say that in the newspapers recently, last week, there have been many numbers that were tossed around about that there are 1 in 4 or 1 in 3 people that are tattooed these days. Well, I did a little bit more research, and what my research shows is that some of those articles may just be a little bit incomplete. The articles from the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatologists were quoted. And what I found is that the percentages that were given were not given for the general population, but they were percentages that were from their patients. That makes a big difference at the picture that you're looking at. You're not looking, perhaps, at 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 of the general population. I happen to play bridge with 20 ladies, and there's not one of us or our husbands that have a tattoo. So I don't think that's 1 in 3 and 1 in 4. So very quickly, I want to make it very clear. We do not want the Angel Tattoo Parlor to fail in business. That is not our goal here. What we really want is we want the Angel Tattoo Parlor to move to an area that is much more consistent with its needs and with its clientele. And so, with due respect, Mayor Smith and council members, please do not allow this body piercing and tattoo business to open in my neighborhood. Thank you. Any questions?
Well, you had me scared there for a second when you said you did some additional research. So
you betcha.
I'm glad that research involved reading and not, you know, looking. So thank you.
You're
any
welcome.
Questions? Terry Givens, would you still like to speak in support?
I think everything's been covered.
Okay, Terry Givens is in support. Mr. Don Casey, would you still like to speak in opposition?
My name is Don Casey. I'm down in Dobson Ranch. I'm not in habit of coming down here. Last time I was here is when my son was killed for the intersection lights and other things. Dobson Ranch is unique. This is going in the middle of Dobson Ranch. I worked for the city building inspection where I did building plan reviews and enforced zoning codes. And, you know, we have right now two pollers, tattoo pollers down there. We don't need a third. It's clear. We don't want it. We have nothing against it, but there's other places in the city. You know, that's basically about it. You know, a lot of us don't want it. And it's that clear. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Stacey Richardson, would you still like to speak in support?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Oh, okay. Stacey is in support, though.
I am in support, yes.
Wherever that goes. Jennifer Green and Austin Angel,
yes.
Would you still like to speak?
Yes, please.
As a group or separately?
Maybe just Austin.
Okay. Austin, Mr. Angel?
Mayor Smith and council members, I'm Austin Angel from 2122 South Paseo Loma in the Dobson Ranch area, but I'm here not to speak as a Dobson Ranch resident, but as an educator. I'm a Regents Professor at Arizona State University, and my children attend Rhodes School, and I've been very happy that they've been able to attend Rhodes School because Rhodes Junior High has been a model school for representing the Valley of the Sun. It has a record, an academic record, which is very high amongst the schools of the entire valley. It's something that Mesa can be proud of. It has a wonderful staff, and it's the preservation of that school which is at the heart of my concern. Now, I've got nothing against Mr. Coleman. I'm sure he's an artist in his own way. But it is this story which we were told earlier of perception, which will be the deciding factor in the sort of people that will come in the future making decisions about where they will live and where they will educate their children. And as they come in our area, they may read our records, but as they come the doorway to Dobson Ranch and they see the signs which we're expressing concern about, their decision may be to place their home and educate their children elsewhere. And the outcome of this will be the inevitable loss of one of Mesa's, I would say, jewels in the education system. And I urge you to take that into consideration. It's not an accident that the organization wants to locate near Rhodes Junior High School. There are over 1,000 kids there, and some of them are susceptible. And we want that school to retain its present academic standard and the quality of life, the decency of all the kids, and that's decided by who is going to live in our area. And it's very important to us, not just the property owners in the Dobson Ranch area, but all the people whose children potentially will be attending this school. And it's a wide, this education spreads like an aura. So it's not going to be just the local area that I'm concerned about. It's the broader. Now, I don't want to speak longer than my time, but please take this level of education and the perception of quality into consideration in making this very important decision.
Thank you, Mr. Angel. Appreciate it. Letitia Coleman, would you still like to speak? Yes, you have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Leticia Goldman. I'm Ryan's wife. I'm French, so I'm sorry. You might have a hard time to understand me, but I'm trying my best. I'm a tattoo artist. I opened my shop 13 years ago in Nice on French Riviera by myself, and I wrote it since then. until Ryan moved with me in France and started to work there. I'm not going to go to the 13 years, but just for today, the people I tattoo and I submitted two letters. One of them is a musician. He plays for the Pope at the Vatican, and that's my kind of customers. Another is a model. She wrote this book that I have with me, and she was about to speak English too, so she submitted a letter for you today to read it. The other people I'm tattooing are police officers, bank directors. I even tattooed the health department. We just got a TV show in France, which is the first, where we are the first tattoo studio that they put on TV on a show about hygiene, and we just got that now. Our work is famous now. We got guested at the World Music Award in Monaco with a lot of famous people and celebrities there just because of the quality of our work. I know it sounds like for us to decide to move in such an area is like a punishment for the neighbor, but it's not. What we want to offer is a nice service, a clean service. I'm tattooing since I was 18. I never got any disease because I select my customer. I tattoo clean people, and that's what I want to keep doing. I don't want to have to argue with some people coming in my place because they want dirty pattern or they're dirty to have to for them to go somewhere else. I don't want to have to do that. That's why we chose that area. My customers, I tattooed a lady. She was 82 years old. She wanted a ladybug, and she got it. This sounds to make it look like a retirement area, but we just had 190 petitions from this same area, people saying they want tattoo. It's not like I'm going to try to make it short, but I tattoo the portrait of a little girl and a dad. I'm not going to try to make her cry today. But that little girl just passed away in the hospital right next. And that's what his way to feel better, to have his daughter with him forever. And I didn't even charge him for that. I just gave him the money to give him for the foundation, Fight the Cancer. I have tattoos on me where they are, my children. I have portraits of my family. Actually, I have the Arizona flag on my leg. I have things that I care about, not the things that are important to me. Just like my customer when they come to me. I have people driving 10 hours from Switzerland just for me to tattoo them because they like the way I do it. And I'm a part of the SNAT, which is the extremely hard association in France who fight for hygiene. And we got the rule passed. We asked the government to pass them rules so they could shut down the dirty places, which we managed to do, and be considered as tattoo artists, not as tattooists. And we just got it done. And that's the same hygiene rules we want to apply in a shop here. We work with mask, with apron. All the sterilization is the same that at the hospital. And you're welcome anytime you want to come and check our place. There was nothing mean about that. We don't want to punish the neighborhood for being there. We just want to be a part of it and offer them a service they might want. Just as they say, they don't like the tattoo parlor around because it sounds dirty to them. We are not. Our shop is clean. We submit the pictures. It's a nice place. I don't see why they can't even come, and maybe they will open a mind on something they don't seem to know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Much.
Okay, those are all the requests we had to speak, but we have several citizens who submitted cards, both in support and in opposition. And Vice Mayor, if you'd read those into the record, please.
So I get to butcher names. Thank you, Mayor. And I apologize in advance if I don't get them right. But first I'll read off those who are in support. Sandra Givens, Ron Evans, Dumont Angelique, Daniel Richardson, Joseph Richardson, I think it's Denise Gern, I'm not sure, Victor Chris Vidal, Stephen Richardson, Matt Stuckman, Stephanie Heffron, Lindsay Dodds, Jessa Tabbitt, Chance Schellenbaum. Oh, boy. It's hard to read.
Bill Jones. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Derek
Savaro?
He's there.
Okay.
Derek, is that right?
Kelly Garcia and Kayla Trickle. And now for the list who are in opposition. I have Don Williams, Nina Williams, Gary Carr, Kathy Carr, Bernadre McCarthy, Donald McCarthy, Dorothy Budget, Robbie Venditti, I'm not sure, Brian McClaney, Mike Rosenfeld, Gerald Budget, Michael Wall, Pat Patterson, Alma Jones, Diane Schaefer, Fred Schaefer, James A. Jones, Linda Patterson, Kathy Maganya Mill, and Ellen Bachman.
Thank you. Receiving any other cards from citizens?
No additional cards, Mayor.
Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for your comments tonight and for your participation. This is what democracy is all about, is your ability and your willingness to come down and state your case. And there were very good arguments, unfortunately, on both sides. that makes it tough, but that's how it should be. And I know that there's passion on both sides, too. So thank you so very much for coming down. Those two. I will now restate the item 7B is zoning case Z09-02, council use permit. This request will allow a tattoo parlor to operate at this location. This was recommended denial from the P&Z on a 3-2 vote, and therefore I'll entertain a motion. This is a yes vote. Well, depending on what the motion is, I'll entertain a motion to approve the application, because that's how it's on the agenda.
To approve or deny?
Approve or deny, Ms. Spinner?
Mayor, it depends on the motion.
Depends on the motion.
The P&Z
yeah.
recommendation was for denial. So it's up to the council whether they want to make.
So I'll entertain a motion on either way. If you want to accept the P&Z recommendation, then the motion should be to accept the P&Z recommendation and deny the use permit, or if you'd like to approve it, then the motion should be to reject the P&Z recommendation and to approve the cancel use permit. So I'll entertain a motion on either side. Councilman Kavanaugh. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to make the motion? Which side is your motion on?
My motion is to deny the application.
Okay. Councilmember Kavanaugh has made a motion to deny the application, thereby accepting the recommendation of the P&Z. We have a second. Council Member Higgins. Okay. Discussion. Vice Mayor.
This is difficult in trying to sort through, but I do have some questions for Ryan. You started the process of opening your store before there were permits and so forth. Can you give me a little background on
Absolutely
that?
Absolutely not. What we did is we rented the location.
Mr. Coleman,
okay,
come on
ahead.
Up to the...
Sorry. What we did is we rented the location. We started the construction inside because we didn't know how this whole process thing went.
Okay.
So we started to set up our booths, close off individual rooms. We redid the flooring, redid the paintings, got everything set up inside. Under the impression that we would go through a process, we would be issued a permit, and then we could open after the fact. We didn't want to wait for the whole process to finish and then do all the construction afterwards, because it would have delayed us on again several months. So that's why we started it. But we never opened the door for business.
Okay.
We've closed off the blinds since the beginning. We put a note on the door saying we are closed for business, and we've never opened the doors for business.
But you started the tenant improvements without any permits,
We asked the management...
Them?
If we needed any permits, they said if we don't build any walls to the ceiling, we don't need any building permits. All we did was put up basic, simple walls just to close off individual rooms. The flooring, the same thing. We didn't need a permit to put in a new floor. All the rest was the cleaning and the painting and setting up the material.
In your good neighbor policy that you're talking about, first making sure you don't tattoo anybody under age 18 without
right.
express permission and so forth. How is that enforced? How are we going to know that?
Everybody we tattoo in our shop, we will force them to sign an authorization. That's what we do in France. We ask them several questions about their health to make sure it's possible for us to tattoo them. And everybody, we will attach a photocopy of their ID to the actual authorization that they file. And absolutely every customer has to file an authorization in our shop.
Okay.
So anytime you feel like you guys want to come, we will be more than happy to give you all of our paperwork. You can review it to verify. But we can guarantee it. We will put a big note on the door saying, forbidden anyone under 18. We will ask everybody that walks through the door for ID.
Okay. Refuse admittance to anybody who appears to be under the influence of alcohol or drugs. That's just a...
That's the same thing. If somebody comes in and they appear to be under the influence of alcohol and drugs, we will refuse to work on them. But anyways, the tattoo process doesn't work like that for us. We counsel people. We discuss the drawing or the tattoo that we're going to do. We give them an appointment, and then they come back at a later date to do the actual tattoo. So if somebody does come in intoxicated, we will counsel them, whatever. They can leave, think about it, come back another time, and then we will go from there. But we would never, ever tattoo anybody under the influence, to the best of our knowledge.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Higgins?
I really want to thank everyone for coming out. It's such a great better articulation than I'm currently doing. Excellent articulation of your points of view on both sides. It was very nice. The reason I seconded the motion to deny the council use permit is a big reason is the citizen participation that took place on this project. And as elected officials, we are here to represent you. And I believe that it overwhelmingly was to the point where you didn't feel that it was compatible with the neighborhood, and I agree that I don't believe it's compatible with the neighborhood. Again, nothing against tattoos. I told someone my pastor actually has a tattoo, so does his wife. So nothing against a tattoo, just I don't believe it's compatible within this neighborhood. So that's why I'll be voting against it.
Thank you. Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to compliment Jeff Welker and the applicant for presenting a thoughtful case and well-researched. This is one of the best discussions I've heard on a council use permit application. These kind of applications often bring out emotions in people, and rational arguments sometimes fly out the window. And I think I appreciate the tone and tenor of the comments that we've had, the work that has been done. I do have to confess to Manel Williamson that I'm also an original resident of Dobson Ranch, so now you may know how old I am or why I'm the oldest person on the council here. But also, in addition to being the oldest person on the council, I was part of the city council in 1997 that enacted the council use permit process for these kind of uses. And we did that in response to requests and input from neighborhood leaders who were concerned about an over-concentration of uses that they felt could be controversial in particular locations within the community. The council did not ban those uses, but again, listened to the residents, and we had a concern about the concentration of uses and the effect that they can have on neighboring businesses and neighborhoods. And so that was the driving philosophy 12 years ago behind adopting the process that we're using tonight. I also think that this illustrates the challenges that city councils will have each and every time you have a council use permit coming before it, whether it's for a plasma center or pawn shop or whatever. And I think it's appropriate as we're looking at our zoning code to see is what we have the best practice in terms of zoning, in terms of decision making. But we've also, in that time since 1997, enacted a citizen participation process that, again, I was deeply involved with, whose goal was to draw out the feelings of the neighbors early on about issues and to alert applicants early on that there could be concerns and problems. And certainly last July, when we became aware of this, I know I certainly expressed my concern at that time. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that I had reservations about this project from the get-go, and in terms of looking at the location near Rhodes School, looking at the other businesses. And at that time, again, 9 months ago, 8 or 9 months ago, there was significant neighborhood interaction with my council office and some of the other members of the council for current concern about that. And that's part of what the process is designed to elicit, to identify early on what the issues were. And I do think that the applicant and Mr. Walker did a fine job in trying to craft a work plan to meet many of the objections that the neighbors have had. Although I do respect the deliberations of the Planning and Zoning Board, I do acknowledge the input that I received from not only Dobson Ranch, but Park Place residents, Marlboro Mesa residents. Marlboro Mesa has had to endure the tattoo shop that was, in my opinion, mistakenly approved by the prior council. Had I served on the council, I think that result might have been different. I think my predecessor and I had differing views on zoning issues and permits adjacent to neighborhoods. But what we do have here is a difficult task for councils at best. I understand the legal arguments from the Go Water Institute. As an attorney myself, I respect the advocacy. I have to confess I rarely agree with the positions of the Go Water Institute in litigation, and they win cases and they lose cases, as I do as well. But if you take the Go Water Institute's position to a logical extreme, we would have no zoning codes, because that would be interfering with constitutional rights. And that's a fairly common theme in litigation from the Go Water Institute, and I will be curious to see the results of that litigation. I think the facts are different in this particular case. We are acting as a city council and not as a quasi-judicial body in this particular activity that we're doing tonight. This is a legislative action that I believe that we are taking. But in overall, in looking at that corner, that location, I think the location of the shop within the center was pretty artful, because it's just outside the 1,200-foot limit from Rhodes High School. Had it been on the baseline road side, it would have been within the 1,200-foot limit. So it's very close there. And again, that's a factor to look at in terms of impact, in my opinion, on surrounding neighborhoods. And so I made the motion for denial, because I simply do not believe that this application in this spot is compatible with the adjacent neighborhoods and businesses. I do think there is an over-concentration of uses in this particular area that has had a cumulative adverse impact on the retail strip malls in the area, and that is unfortunate. I certainly don't believe that that tattoo shops are inherently bad. We at the Mesa Art Center had a wonderful presentation on tattoo art and all the wonderful things that can occur with it. And so when you have if we didn't like tattoo shops, the city would ban them completely. I mean, that would be the decision to make. And clearly, that's not what our code permits, nor should it, in my opinion. But in this particular location, I think the issue of compatibility is the one that creates a detrimental effect. And so that's why I'm not supporting this application.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Richens.
I think the problem I have with this application is the same problem I have with other service businesses that try to move into commercial strip malls. We set aside commercial strip malls with the intent that they'll produce sales tax revenue for the city. And tattoo shops, check cashing, massage, so even my insurance agent, who's in a retail strip center, they don't produce a lot of sales tax revenue. And so I kind of look at these as opportunity costs. When we allow a lot of businesses to go into commercial strip centers, where we set aside that space to produce sales tax revenue, we're hurting ourselves. And we need to kind of hold the line, and we need to emphasize businesses in commercial strip centers and that produce sales tax revenue. Now, clearly, in my opinion, I think the council use permit process needs some work and some reform. Needs a little bit more. It needs to be streamlined, and I would love it to just have sole discretion over council use permits, not have a series of hoops to jump through. A lot has been said about which is first, the chicken or the egg, on property values in West Mesa. If, you know, what would the perception of West Mesa be if we had no tattoo parlors, no piercing stores, no pawn shops, no massage outfits or check cashing stores? I believe it would be vastly different. And if you look at empirical data about property values across the valley, you'll find neighborhoods who have concentrations, as the map clearly illustrated, of these types of businesses to have lower property values. And I think there is a connection there. I know we received a nice letter. And I've never been threatened to be sued with such a smiling face. I really appreciated your comments there. It was the nicest I've been had a threat. But I think the evidence illustrates. I've been working on economic development in West Mesa for quite a while now, and I've seen the cause and effect of the various types of businesses that come here. And I believe that they are detrimental to property values. I appreciated the comments of Mr. Coleman and his wife, who's just lovely. Just really appreciated you guys and your art. And I do view it as an art. And I don't really have anything against the tattoo. I don't have one. I just never like to get poked by needles. But I'm going to not support this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councilmember Fenter.
Thanks. I wanted to thank Mr. and Mrs. Coleman. They've traveled long distances to be able to advocate for your position, and I know you feel passionately. I want you to know I'm not burdened with some of the concerns about tattoo art. I have friends, extended family, no kids, thank heavens, but that have tattoo art and are really good with that. In trying to weigh these, all the information that we get, the one thing that stands out to me, and you've been in this business for a long time, I think within the industry, they know that there are regulations, apprehensions in a community. I've really struggled with the idea that you would come in and spend $62,000 to do a tenant improvement, and that the only way the city found out was kind of in a roundabout way. And your explanation was pretty reasonable, but I the feeling of I'll expend so much money, time, and effort, and then go through the process, it just raised concerns. And I guess when you've asked us to have some good faith in you and say, hey, give me a chance, look at these requirements, and it goes for me to look at kind of a good faith effort. I'm concerned. I think nothing against you personally, but being in the business for a long time and just kind of, you would have us believe it kind of haphazardly moved into this situation kind of strikes me as something doesn't quite fit. And so I'm going to be supporting the motion as it is. I'm concerned about process, good faith. You ask us to look at it for a long term of trying to institute some of the good neighbor policies. And it would take a lot of hope on our part that you would meet that. And I just think that the way you've started out, I'm worried that it might have an impact on how it would end up long term. So I'm going to go ahead and support the motion as it stands.
Okay, any other comments? Is that yes or no? I think I've counted. And this is a tough one for me, simply because I would have the same argument whether this were a tattoo parlor or a lemonade stand. I really do not feel comfortable with our process on council use permits for a couple different reasons. I have a problem when we make government decisions based on a name or status rather than on activity or behavior. I've heard a lot about tattoo parlors. I can understand where that came from. 20, 30 years ago, it seemed like those who got tattoos were prisoners, sailors, and carnival workers. And we developed a perception that is obviously carried over by the fact that we have that. Now, a lot of that was probably very well earned. And that is that as you drive around, you see tattoo parlors with gaudy signs, neon, flashing lights, and an inability to control the way they did business, I can see why there would be concern with people about this type of business coming in. But a couple things have affected that. Number one, whether we like it or not, and frankly, I don't get tattoos. Not that I don't receive tattoos, I don't understand them. I find it very interesting that most women put tattoos in places that nobody can see it, including themselves. On their backs of necks, things like that. But you know what? Sitting in this chair, it's not my job or my position or my right to question why others make other choices, simply because I may not agree with them. I find it interesting that when we deal with the situation I'm talking about, it is an activity. It's how they do business. I wouldn't support a lemonade stand. They had gaudy signs, flashing lights, and people hanging around that were doing damage or doing unsavory. It doesn't matter what goes on inside, but I really have a problem with how people do business in that sense, because I believe that does bring down a community. Which gets us to the question at hand. I think the fact that this business does face Dobson instead of Baseline, to me that mitigates some of the issues. And the other thing is, I still have yet to hear a really solid argument as to why this activity is somehow detrimental to a neighborhood other than perception. I can see the city, the state, whoever wants to decide whether this activity is acceptable or not, regulating this. And I think they do from a health standpoint and from other things. I have real issues when we talk about what might happen, what could happen, and yet we have no, those are based on perception and based on what I believe are judgment calls, which have proven to be in error. Thank heavens that the judgment calls that my parents made on my generation about those people who had long hair and dressed in torn jeans hopefully did not turn out to be true. That was a phase we went through, which is why I also don't get tattoos, because I could cut my hair and put on a suit, and you get a tattoo, it's there. But you know what? That's not my call. I also worry about the connection with gangs. If we're that concerned about it, why do we allow the brand new Best Buy in Fiesta Mall to sell Oakland Raiders jerseys? And I think you can see that there's a more of a direct connection between gang wear that is normal sportswear than there would be on other things. And it's not that I'm arguing for or against, and that's why I'm really concerned about what I'm saying, is because I'm not arguing for or against tattoos, but I have a real concern by how subjectively we approach this process. I think it leads to the kind of absurd situations that we find at Dobson and Baseline, where we have a proliferation of massage parlors. And for example, what kind of massage parlor are we talking about? Are we talking about the massage parlor that exists at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel in a spa? Well, I don't know what you mean by massage activities. I know that when there are certain ways that a massage is done and the way businesses are conducted, that's not good. But how do I make that decision up front when you just say they offer massages here? It could be at a high-priced, fancy spa, or in a doctor's office, or someplace, or it could be the most unsavory way of doing business possible. I would prefer to concentrate on the second part and talk about those people who are doing legal businesses in a very unsavory and perhaps illegal manner. And that's why I have a problem with regulating through things that are very subjective, such as a use permit that relies primarily on our feelings and on the perceptions of others. When I ran for office, I started talking earlier about building a better Mesa. And in order to do that, changing the way we looked at things and changing the way we approached problems and changing the way we did business. I don't see that saying no to things creates progress. I would prefer to raise standards. I would prefer to raise standards in our shopping centers. I would prefer to work with people and property owners as to how we can have businesses who conduct themselves in a manner that are an attribute to the community, understanding that what they do by itself, probably in my mind, is not a negative, but the way they conduct their business should be. I have more problems, frankly, with the smokers outside the Planned Parenthood than I do with a tattoo parlor. I mean, you've all talked about the smokers. We looked at the pictures. I have a real problem with that, and I'm going to get a call tomorrow from someone from Planned Parenthood who's upset. But I would tell them, listen, you are not a positive to the neighborhood if you have that kind of presence standing out there where people drive by and they're flicking their... They obviously have no concern for their neighborhood or their shopping center the way they do it, because they're flicking cigarettes down on the ground. They're not even putting them in an ashtray. I have real problems with that. And it has nothing to do with what happens inside Planned Parenthood. It has everything to do with how that business is being conducted outside. I think that as we raise our standards, that these things take care of themselves. I wish that we would move forward by raising standards rather than by dictating up front based on a perception, not based on fact, and making judgments that create weird situations where you have a proliferation of businesses who I don't believe are doing their business in the way, but they're acceptable, they're legal, they've been approved, and yet we say no to someone who we have a chance to set the rules, monitor them, regulate the performance and the behavior, and as Mr. Coleman said, if he violates those, we have a hammer that we can shut him down. And that comes down to how he acts, not specifically what he does, especially when something is as mainstream, whether I like it or not, as tattoos are right now. I have a real question when we talk about the Dobson Ranch area going down. Dobson Ranch thrives because the Dobson Ranch residents have pride in their neighborhoods and take care of their neighborhoods. I wonder, though, why they can't support their neighborhood businesses. Somehow they have voted. They voted with their feet. They've gone elsewhere to support grocery stores. They've gone elsewhere to support legitimate business. And that's how it should be. I believe that if Angels did not have the support of the Dobson Ranch community, it wouldn't survive. And that's a good way in the way the market operates. I'm not a totally let the market do what it wants, because the market that creates wonderful thing also gave us the Love Canal. And so there's got to be a balance. And I'm more offended by the process than I am about what we have going on here. Mr. Coleman, I wish you could be a better thing. I am concerned about the dollars paid up front. It raises questions. But once again, I would be willing to give you a chance to prove yourself. I would be willing to let you succeed in business, because I think as we move forward as a community, we need to facilitate businesses in reaching the standards which we demand. We need to encourage them to invest with certainty, which is one of the main reasons I have a problem with this process, because there is no certainty when we can go in and really, at our whim, we can choose to accept or deny a use permit application. So I guess I'm going to be voting against this, not because of the argument of the tattoo parlor or not, although I do have some questions about the things that have been done, but because I believe if we're to move Mesa forward, we really need to change the way we look at things. We need to start demanding higher standards rather than saying yes or no based on moral judgments or based on perceptions or based on the way we look at things. So with that, we'll vote. Now, once again, a yes vote will have the effect of denying the council use permit and accepting the planning and zoning recommendation. A no vote will have the effect of approving the council use permit and rejecting of denying.
Will just reject the motion.
It'll just reject the motion. Oh, and then we'll have to go ahead and have another motion.
Correct, Mayor.
Thank you very much, Ms. Spinner. I always like having you there. So a no vote will simply reject the motion, and then we would then have to have another motion to actually accept the permit. So, yes, Vice Mayor.
I just do need to make one more comment. My concern here, you put very well all the concerns about how the process is. My concern about this particular business is not the tattoo business as much as the work that we've been doing for years trying to raise the bar in the older neighborhoods of Mesa and the West Side, and the proliferation of grouping of businesses, not necessarily just tattoo, but a grouping of businesses, and that is my only reason for opposing the permit. But all the reasons that you raise are excellent, but because of my history of trying to raise the bar in the West Side of Mesa is the reason that I cannot agree to the council use permit on this.
And Vice Mayor, thank you for raising that, because that's one other thing. I guess that we as a city should do a better job of concentrating on those things that demand the kind of performance that keep these kind of businesses out. Just by a yes or no, we'll never reach where we want, because there will always be a business that today is legitimate or is not legitimate, and tomorrow is illegitimate, today is illegitimate, tomorrow is legitimate. And how people function and operate is, I think, what we should be focusing on. I'm hoping that this situation leads us to a discussion. I think Councilmember Richens also brought it up, that we need to change the way that we demand, not demand, I guess expect. We could say, expect high standards in our community. I think the fact that the policies and procedures that are in place have obviously not worked, it shows that we failed in the way that we've conducted business so far as a city, because it hasn't stopped those kind of businesses from proliferating the area. So it just shows that the use permit process we have now is inadequate. And I would hope that this will, if nothing else, lead us to a discussion on how we can improve that system, how we can raise this bar and raise the standards while allowing people the freedom to do their business and to do their business with certainty and make investments in this area. So thank you for bringing that up. Okay, so yes. Councilmember Richens.
I I'm struggling a little bit. I mean, when was the first one? I mean, it's like sometime along the line, somebody, one of the first undesirable business came in the neighborhood, and the camel's nose got under the tent, the proverbial camel. You know, when do you raise the higher standard? The first one? The second one? The third one? When is it? When do you draw the line and say enough's enough?
And the question I have is that I don't believe you do it on a business-by-business basis. I believe you do it on an overall basis. And then two things will happen. As you raise this bar, I found that as you raise the bar, those people and those businesses who are willing to make the investment and are willing to operate under those sets of rules will invest. Those who don't, stay away from the area, because you basically raise the bar. The other thing is if you pick and choose with each business, I think you're right. You're playing catch-up. You're constantly playing catch-up. The third thing I'd like to say is that, once again, this is a neighborhood shopping center. This isn't all on the city. Obviously, there is a clientele, a significant clientele, that appreciates these kind of businesses in that area. If there weren't, they'd go out of business. And so there is an interplay here between the city and what the market will do. If Bash's had enough customers, Bash's would not be shutting down. If the massage parlors didn't have plenty enough customers coming in and getting massages, they would shut down. And so I think that going on a business-by-business standpoint, I agree with you, is not going to get us there. And so I think up front, as we have developments that come in, as we work with developers, we give them incentives to provide tight rules in their developments. So they can do it through private contract and allow certain kind of businesses that I think could be much more effective than what we can be as a government body. And we have trade-offs there. And I don't have the magic answer, but I still believe that in playing catch-up, there are things we can do to encourage and to facilitate reinvestment in centers that would encourage overall standards to go up.
I'm looking forward to the conversation about what it means to raise the bar.
Because
I think that's very ill-defined right now, and we need to work a lot harder to define what it means to raise the bar.
And I would agree with you.
Right now, under the set of circumstances we have before us, this is what it has to mean to me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I agree that we do need to have that conversation, and it's not an easy conversation. And I also agree that it's not enough to just come in and demand more, that there has to be a facilitating and a give and take between government and investment to make it so where people are willing and wanting to raise the bar rather than forcing that. And I agree with you. That's a discussion we need to have, and I'm hoping that we will have it because I think the future of what goes on not only in this area but in other areas of the city is dependent upon it. I agree with you 100% on that. And look forward to it. Okay, well, call the question. All right, please vote. Okay, the vote is 6-1 in the affirmative with the mayor voting nay. The motion passes and the council use permit is denied. Thank you very much. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak from citizens present?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn and we have a second. All in favor?
All right.
Thank you so very much. And once again, thank you to all of you for coming. We really appreciate it.